everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 162. 162 for Friday, November 22nd, 2013. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. It's been quite a week. I'm Phil Nickinson, host of the show and editor of AndroidCentral.com, and we only have three of us this week, so we're going to see what we can do without our resident Brit. I feel bad, but Alex has worked his butt off. He needs a week off. So up in Seattle, we've got Andrew Martinick.
How's it going, everybody?
And I forget where Jerry is. West Virginia! Jerry.
Woo! What's up, people?
So what's going on? It's been a really busy week, actually.
Yeah.
I was looking back, putting together the notes, and it's like, oh my god, that's... Wow. Okay. It's weird, because we've kind of had continuing news stories from one week to the next, I think, for like the past month. Probably since the Nexus 5 was announced, right? KitKat. It's like, all right,
pretty much.
Here's the phone. It's coming. Hey, we've got the phone. Now we're going to write about the phone. Let's talk about the phone some more. And then we'll talk about the phone some more after that. We're still going to talk about it some today, probably. Can't help ourselves. I don't know. What you guys been up to?
I'm fooling with a new smartwatch.
Which one?
The Martian Passport.
Oh, so you got it there?
Yeah, it's has voice enabled on it, so I can hit a button and OK Google on my Nexus 5 while the screen is off and it's in my pocket.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
I'm
Hey, for all you guys listening at home who aren't watching this, either now or either live or recorded, this is why you should watch us. So you can see Jerry's watch.
I had to find it. Here it is.
That's kind of cool. How big is it? Like, how thick?
It's thick.
That's... Pebble-ish.
It's the physical size of the pebble, you know, the footprint, but it's about 50% thicker, heavier because it's stainless steel. And it's
I'm
a
sure
good
it,
first try.
It feels
I don't want to give
a
too much
whole
away.
Lot better.
Yeah. And it's got a more classic watch look, which was what really got me interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to give too much away, but it's a good first try from this company.
Cool. What do we really want to start with? There's kind of so many. We got to talk about Motorola.
Oh yeah.
I've been trying to avoid like talking too much about Motorola instead of talking too much about the other things we traditionally talk too much about. But damn, Motorola! Every time I look at everything they've done, I just start shaking my head. So I mean, look, we're all in love with the Moto X, Jerry. Did you do your custom lower third or no?
No, I did not do it. I'm sorry, guys. I failed.
Can we just go ahead and spill the beans now? I mean, we need to do like our best phones of whenever, but I don't know how the Moto X doesn't take it at this point.
What have I been saying is the best phone for the past 3 months?
I haven't disagreed with you, but I wanted to get the Nexus 5 under our belts.
I know.
And I'm still using the Nexus 5 like as my main phone, but I gotta think that... Nexus 5 has to be our Moto X has to be it, especially it's already got I'm blown away. It already has KitKat,
and it's fairly bug free KitKat. That's what impressed me the most. I expected everything I love about it to not work, but it does. There could be bugs that I'm not seeing, but the stuff that makes it stand out to me, the active notifications, the Okay, Google Now, the Moto Assist, all that works as intended, just as good as it did before, and I am impressed.
And that's all the stuff that I'm missing on the Nexus 5. Yep. It'll be interesting to see when I go back to it, how much the camera matters to me. But mm-hmm. I have a feeling it's not going to be as much as I think. So let's back up. So Verizon last week said, all right, we're doing the soak test, or they didn't say it, but everybody told us Verizon is doing the soak test for a KitKat. And then, like, the next day it pushed out. And there was it yesterday, the day before? No, it was, like, Tuesday. AT&T, or I guess Moto sent out and said, hey, we're going to do it for AT&T next. So I don't think that's pushed yet. But no, meanwhile, T-Mobile just up and gets it. And so does the developer version.
Well, and that's because there really is no T-Mobile Moto X.
Right.
It's unlocked from Motorola, and it was designed with T-Mobile bands.
Right.
So that's...
So I'm still waiting on mine. Everybody else has KitKat on the Moto X but me. What about Sprint? We haven't heard anything about Sprint.
No, nothing from Sprint yet.
It's coming.
Makes more sense that theirs may take a little bit longer. There's some more stuff in there.
Yeah.
With Google Voice and Google Wallet. I don't know how much changing will have to be done to switch Google Wallet from the Sprint way to the new way. So we'll cut them for slack for a couple weeks.
It's kind of funny when we talk about Sprint holding off for an update.
Yeah.
Usually they're the first ones. So we got that, which is pretty awesome. Any other big changes, Jerry, besides?
No, not really. I have a transparent status bar and notification bar. Boom. Cool. But no, it's white instead of blue in most places. It pretty much runs just like it did before. I assume everything under the hood is included, and it's KitKat. If apps come out that need the APIs that are in KitKat, you'll be able to run them. That's really the only, you know, the white battery icon, I guess.
Does it have the Google Experience Launcher?
I don't know. I don't know. No, it doesn't have the Nexus, the same launcher as the Nexus 5.
Yeah, by the way, nobody has officially called this a Google Experience launcher still. Yeah.
Key lime it's a thing pie. That doesn't actually
key
exist.
Key lime pie all over again. Very good.
Well, they'll give it a name if they ever put it on the Play Store, and they'll make sure it's a name none of us have ever said just to
just to mess with people. I'm still using the stock launcher on the Nexus 5, but I mean it doesn't blow me away. I think
I don't like
I need
it.
To put a really? Action.
I don't mind it at all. I'm a person that has been using just the stock launcher on the Nexus 4, but now when I go back to using the Nexus 7 and the Nexus 4, I don't know. It's just kind of it feels older. I mean, that's just kind of a perception thing. Once you're used to one thing, you go back to the old one, but it's just kind of the small icons and everything. It's just the subtle styling differences. It just feels a little less friendly than the new one does.
When I pick up the Nexus 5, the first thing I do is swipe over and Google Now comes up, because the way I always have my phone set up, I don't have much on the screen that I look at, because I don't want to look at a bunch of crap. But one screen to the left is where I have everything. So by habit, I pick it up and swipe it over, and instead it's Google Now. So I've got to get used to that.
I don't know why I just picked up Glass. I just wanted to see what was on Google Now on that.
Is the Google Experience Launcher on Glass?
Is the status bar transparent? What is the Android version on Glass? Does it have an Android version? I've never looked at one.
It's some sort of Jelly Bean, I think. I don't think it's ICS.
Yeah, I can look real quick.
It'd be cool if it was the Nexus Q software.
That would be awesome.
Very subtle troll.
My Nexus Q box is still sitting out on my TV in the living room.
Dude, mine is dusted. I take it out once a month and rub it with Pledge.
Yeah.
I love that thing. I want it to work again. I'm so pissed. It was way better than the Chromecast.
Yeah. So what else has Motorola done this week? So they said they're going to offer factory images for the developer versions. Awesome.
And holy crap. Going back to 2012 developer editions, so the Droid Razer, or the Razer HD lineup, which is
That's also awesome.
A big deal.
And your warranty isn't void if you use the damn thing.
Yeah.
Even they're going back and reinstating warranties for those who broke them already.
And now, to be fair, I have had to send a device back to Samsung that was totally customized. I mean, there was nothing on it left from Samsung. They didn't have any problem.
Sure.
They fixed it and sent it back. You know, officially the warranties are bad, but you can't just automatically say they're going to try to screw you. Because
peace of mind is what everyone has always wanted. Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, Google Glass is 404.
Okay. Oh. That was 401. There you go.
Since you were asking.
So I expect outrage on Google+. Where's my KitKat for Google Glass?
Yeah, so you got that. And then Motorola started farming some more apps out into Google Play, including Motorola Assist, which is really cool. If you're driving, it will read text notifications back to you, and then now it will send an automatic reply. It's actually funny. I had to turn it off because I had that month where I was flying so much, and every time I would land, I'd turn my phone back on and be like, "You are in a car. You will not be able to do it. I'm not in a car. I'm on a plane." Mm-hmm. Really fast. So I turned it off for a while. We got that. Motorola Connect, which is like a Chrome extension that will show your stuff on your browser, which I turned it off because I'm using Google Voice, and it just duplicated a lot of stuff.
But the big deal about the Connect Motorola Connect update is that it works even when it's SMS integrated to Hangouts, which they kind of had to do. Yep. And so now it means that it's just in the Play Store and those can be updated, which they still only work for the new Motorola phones, but they can be updated independently.
Well, see, that's the thing. Putting them in the Play Store like that not only will make it, pull it out of the ROM easier to update, but there's a good chance, like when the Razer HD Max gets KitKat, that all this stuff can work with it.
Mm-hmm. And
that's cool.
We could talk about that next as well. Motorola added even more devices to the, hey, these are the devices that are going to get updated kind of thing. And while there's no time frame and it's not even a guarantee, because we see devices come and go off this list, there are devices that have been, they say they're going to get 4.1 or 4.2 or whatever and then just never do. But they added pretty much all of their devices, their big devices that were made in 2012. So the Atrix HD, the Razer HD, HD Max, whatever the small version of that one was. A couple other, the Electrify M on US Cellular.
Amazing.
Are all going to 4.4.
I'm going to try to pick up an Atrix HD. I'd like to see that on KitKat.
Yeah.
I like that little phone that nobody loved.
Do you think, because it's almost like somebody walked into Motorola and said, guys, we can do better. Like, we've been doing okay, but not really. And we can do things right. And it's almost like that's what's happening.
I think somebody walked into Motorola and said, guys, you're fired, and pulled in people that could do it.
Well, I was going to say, do you think it's just a new CEO and just new blood and that's doing it, or do you really think it's the Google collaboration?
It's hard to say. I think it's got to be a little bit of both, considering that there was a lot of talent pull from Google over into Motorola, so it's just kind of that mindset just stuck around. But also, when you're a company that just isn't doing very well, losing money all the time, it's good to see them try something else.
Well, if you remember at the Moto G launch, when they all took the stage, and the whole thing's worth watching, but about 18 or 19 minutes in, Punit Soni stands up and talks about their new, philosophy for software, and it's take what Google gives, add intelligently to it, don't compete with it, and your phone will run better, the people will be happier, and it'll be easier to update. That's a big part of it. We'll see updates for the Razer Max HD eventually, but they're still pretty close to stock, but they're going to take longer to update than the Moto X did. It doesn't surprise me that the Moto X got updated this fast.
But those older devices, although they're really not that old, right? They were released in the late 2012, I think. Most of these, or the Atrix HD was a little earlier, but it's kind of crazy that those were already not expected to get the update. So they're kind of just bringing it back up to what would normally be expected. The original Razer from October 2011, that's understandable that that's not going to get 4.4, but the fact that these 2012 models weren't getting updates in the first place is kind of gross.
Well, I think they probably just randomly cut it off from, this is when the new Google Motorola started making phones. This is our first cutting point. Let's go back and look at what we can update that we don't have any hands in.
Yeah, so far. It obviously wouldn't. It wouldn't have been surprising if Motorola had been sold to say, okay, this is where the line cuts off. Yeah. Those devices are going to get supported for warranty reasons and nothing else. But given the way that they're kind of trying to do good by just the general consumer, these are good steps.
Yep.
It's Bionic, the right way to do it.
Bionic 2, same exact phone, just with KitKat. Do it.
You want to do a couple of Q&A questions since they're piling up on us?
Sure.
So again, for everybody listening at home, we can actually answer questions live now through the Hangout, so it's really cool. Let's start with Donnell. After a few weeks of using the Nexus 5, are you still using it as your daily driver, or have you gone back to the Moto X or another device? So I'm still mostly using the Nexus 5. I'll walk around the house. I don't actually have a SIM card in my Moto X right now. I'll still walk around the house with it every now and then. This is what I use. If you go back to the post I did on the audio problems with the Nexus 5 and how I would, you know, listen to what do I listen to? Peter and the Wolf with my youngest daughter every night. So I pick up the Moto X to still play that back to her since the Nexus 5 has issues. But no, when I leave the house, it's with the Nexus 5 still.
Yep, same thing for me as well. I'm not even powering anything else on except for to check for updates on the Nexus 4, and that was about it, and now it's off.
I take them both because I use the Moto X. That's my phone.
Yeah.
But I also want to see how the Nexus 5 performs. You know, if I need, I want to take a picture of this. I want to make sure I can see the Nexus 5's version, or, you know, oh, great, I got LTE on two phones, so let's take a speed test. You know, I carry them both, but then the Moto X is the phone I use.
Omar wants to know, what do you think of KitKat, and what do you think the next Android name is? I like KitKat. I think it's good. I still think, you know, things like touchless control and especially the trusted Bluetooth is missed. And actually, I think trusted Bluetooth is very important.
Yes.
And I would really love to see that baked into every phone.
The next version? Lollipop.
Lollipop?
You heard it first.
Ooh, that's a good idea. I don't think that one's been thrown around as much as licorice or yeah. Something like that.
I want to be able to sing the song.
Fine. Let's see. Omar also wants to know if that would be our device of the year. I'm willing to bet it is. Hey, Jerry.
What?
Ask Davin. Are you still mum on the Nexus 10 2013 release?
I don't know a lot about the Nexus 10. What I do know, I really can't say too much about. Somebody's going to get in trouble if I do. Things are very, very, very weird there. That's what I can say. There's something weird going on.
Shin Yi wants to know, why is Tizen the best OS? Well, because your mom, obviously.
Because it's open, dude.
Oh. Let's see. Brian wants to know, any thoughts on why the Moto X KitKat update shipped with the launcher it launched with, and not the gel, not the Google experience?
I hate just
because you don't want 515,000 users to say, "What the hell happened to my damn phone? Fix it."
Interesting.
You know, something to be said for that.
A funny little anecdote, really quick though, is my parents both have Nexus 4s, and so I told them that they'd be getting an update to not be alarmed when things change, colors and all that. And I talked to my mom about it, and she said, oh, I must have gotten that new update, because the position of the exclamation point and some of the things changed on the keyboard. I said, oh, no, you just got an update to the keyboard, and had to explain, like, right, why things moved and where everything moved and, you know, why you couldn't just put the exclamation point back where it was. And it's just like, you know, that's what normal people experience when they just get an automatic update, you know, which are on by default, just in the Google Play Store, and they update something like even just the keyboard, not the launcher or the Google Now or anything like that. It's like those are big changes. Not everybody is chomping at the bit to have their phone change dramatically with a reboot. Something could be said for them holding that back right now.
Valid concern. Yeah. Let's move on to, all right, so Nexus updates. Finally, they've pushed, and it looks like we've got them all. What happened the other day was in the Google build group, in the Android build group, which is really not for people like me. I'm just kind of, you know, kibitzing. You know, it's for people who actually build Android from source. But you get, you know, some good stuff in there, and they sent out a message saying, hey, by the way, we've pushed a new version of KitKat. And you're going to have new factory images soon. And then immediately, we got Nexus 7 updates.
Yep.
And still had to wait a couple days for, and then finally the Nexus 4 update pushed out over the air. I think yesterday everybody finally got the download location. It's, I don't know too much more to say over what we talked about last week with this whole process and the way things work. I know Dan Morrill chimed in on Reddit. You just got to be patient and wait for that stuff. And let's back up because Jerry and Andrew and I were talking about this earlier. There are basically four ways to do Nexus updates, right? There is the traditional over-the-air update, OTA. You can sideload that OTA, which is just you download it onto your computer and then push it to your phone instead of your phone downloading it itself and installing it. And then you have these factory images, and you can either wipe and start from scratch, or all you have to do is change one little file that's that comes along with it. And you open it up as a text file and take out this one -W, and then you don't wipe; it just updates. And those are the four ways to update a Nexus. There's just been a lot of confusion over how to do it. And again, I go back to read everything you can about this stuff and try it and experiment. And I almost want to say, please stay away from those toolkits because they're not teaching you anything. And that's
I mean, there's more complication to using a toolkit than using the official tools on a Nexus. So
it's really easy. Like, and you don't even have to do anything to set up the Android SDK anymore. Now, but again, if you're on Windows, you got drivers issues. I get
there
that.
You go. If you're on Windows and you don't have access to a real computer, use the toolkit. I know. I'm serious, man.
I had to
fight a driver install the other day, and it made me realize why all these people in the forums, they're not just blowing smoke.
Right.
It's a mess.
No, and you and I have gone through it when I was on Windows. Right?
And it's,
I
mean, it's gotten worse, Phil.
Has it? Oh, God.
Yes. It's something that Microsoft will need to handle, and I'm sure they will. But it's not going to be...
Are you really?
I think so. They have to.
Okay.
But because this isn't a very user-facing feature that will affect very many people, it's not going to be on their critical list.
True.
You know, Windows 11 will fix it.
Okay, so if you're on Windows, fine, use a toolkit, I guess.
But even then, you still don't know what you're getting into, and the chances of failure are far greater than zero.
You know, I'm putting a call out there to all you tinkerers. Somebody make a very small USB stick, Ubuntu, Mint, whatever, that you can, you know, just boot your laptop or your computer from, that has the SDK, fast boot, everything already in place. Users can plug it in, boot their computer up, plug their phone in, type the commands that they're told to type, their phone fixes, then they can reboot back to Windows and don't have to worry about it. Somebody do that. Slipstream it in there. Make it work. If you do it, send it to us. We'll put you all over the internet.
Jerry could do it.
Well, can I have time to do it?
Oh, well, then there's that. No, back to work. But yeah, I mean, it's complicated. And I was complaining on Google Plus the other day about people who were complaining, which makes me as bad as them, I know. But, I mean, I get the frustration. I do. But it's not that difficult. I mean, I can do this. I'm not a coder. I don't sit here, you know, in SDKs and APIs and GDKs and I write words for a living. That's it. And I learned how to do this. You can do it too. We should do an infomercial.
Well, and you know what? I mean, everybody over 21 can just open a beer and sit and wait for the OTA too.
Patience is tough, man.
It's really tough, but you know, that's what a lot of people do, is just...
You are far too young to be advocating patience. What's wrong with you?
I know. I'm a different kind of person, apparently. But that's the thing. I mean, I waited for the OTAs on my Nexus 7s and Nexus 4, and they all came last night or today.
I never did. I couldn't.
And I had the OTA files downloaded, you know, just in case a week from now I still didn't have them or something. But I waited the week and a half or whatever, and you know, my apartment didn't catch on fire because I didn't have 4.4 on all my devices.
He's telling the truth, because About every 25 minutes for the past 3 days, I'll get a Hangout message saying, still no OTA. And I'm going to have to flash it. I know I am.
Well, and Jerry and I used to do that, too. We were like, could you wait? No. Could you? No. That's almost why, and I know I've talked about this before, it's nice for me to have two Nexus phones around so I can have one that we sit back and wait so we kind of know when the OTA is coming out and one I can just go ahead and do and play with.
And, you know, that's still this, I mean, we talked about this a lot last week too, but this still doesn't, it doesn't mean that I wouldn't prefer for the OTA to have come to everybody at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a week and a half ago. But it also means that I, you know, at some level you have to just say it's going to happen. And if you don't, you know, it's going to happen eventually. And if you want to rush it, the tools are there and they're officially, you know, Google makes them available. You know, you're not doing a hack. Yeah, they're, you know, two options is far more than you get on any other phone.
And then the other thing I kept seeing was, well, I'll just wait for a zip file. I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, you can, but you're just throwing extra steps in it and people putting their fingers in the cookie bowl.
The part that the person who made your computer is involved in, if you take that out of the equation, what Google gives you to download, unzip, and run is dead simple.
Yeah.
If you can open
there's even a text file that
phone, yeah, you can just click an icon and this will install.
Yeah, with the factory images, I don't remember all the time, you know, what needs to be flashed, right? So I look at the script. All right, that's what I need to flash. And if I'm too lazy to, you know, put the script wherever it needs to be or whatever, I just sit there and look at it and commands myself. It takes, you know, 5 minutes. It's really that easy. And I think that's why I get so frustrated, because it's not difficult. And I wish people would just take the time to learn and figure it out, because it's going to make life so much easier. Once you understand, okay, here is the manual download. Here's the update that we're going to A2B sideload, or here's a factory image. And once you understand the difference between those two and how they work and how to flash them, you're teaching yourself to fish.
Oh, and it's empowering too. You know, you think that it's some kind of crazy insurmountable thing where, you know, you're opening the command line and not a lot of people open the command line or the terminal. But once you do it, you're going to say, well, why the heck did I worry about that so much? It was four entries into terminal.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
go ahead.
If you don't care and my phone runs good. Hopefully when I do get the update, it'll run even better, but I don't give a crap. You don't need to learn all this. You don't need to care. Follow Andrew's advice and crack that beer open and just wait. That's good too.
And like we saw this week, you know, code can change.
Yep. Oh, right. There's definitely a reason that the OTAs were flaky for the three devices that got them. The, you know, they didn't just do this just for the sake of doing it.
That's a troll out, man.
Part of me hopes that it is, that they're just saying, let's troll 1.5 billion people. Watch this. But I don't think that was the case.
Well,
you're right, though.
What was the update Samsung had to pull back this week?
Most of the 4.3s for most of the S3s.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Apparently they got that worked out, though, if you're on Sprint or T-Mobile or AT&T.
Yeah. U.S. Cellular, make sure you're checked. International. Yeah.
Anything else in the update realm? No. All right, let's do some more questions.
Wait one sec.
Yes.
I want to take a minute and talk about updates because I have a T-Mobile Galaxy S4.
Yes.
And the Galaxy S4 is not my favorite device, but I'll be the first one to stand up and say it is one hell of a phone.
Yep.
Does all kinds of stuff, and if you don't like that stuff, you can just shut it off. And it's got a really nice screen, and it's real thin, and it's a great phone. But the T-Mobile one has never gotten an update, and it lags like hell.
Whose fault is that?
I don't know whose fault it is, but if you work for Samsung or if you work for T-Mobile and you're listening, please fix it. We really need it, man.
Fix it.
We really need to do something with that phone. Make it as great as the other ones have gotten, please. That's all. I just needed to get that out there because it's been bugging me.
Feel better?
Yes, I do.
All right, now let's do some more questions.
Okay.
Oh, where'd it go? Ben wants to know, with Google pushing KitKat on lower spec devices, some with 512 megabytes of RAM, do you think they'll avoid adopting more memory-intensive features like multi-window for TouchWiz and some of the Note 3 overlay functions? I don't think, I mean, that's never going to be baked into Android anyway. Right. It's just not.
No, and the whole thing, we already don't see that on Samsung's own lower-end devices that just don't have the resources to run it. So all this really means with the operating system itself being with a lower memory footprint, it just means that Samsung has more room to work with the rest of the OS and their extra features to throw on top. So
what we need to remember is I use toggles in the notification shade as a good example of this. My way of thinking is there's a reason Google doesn't put those up there. They want the OS that boots up on your phone that gives you access to the internet and Google services to be as light, slim, and well-running as possible so it can get on these $200 devices and give a good experience. Other manufacturers can add more if they have a phone that has more hardware to do it, but Google is shooting for the lowest common denominator. They want the same experience on that really inexpensive ZTE phone that you get on the Nexus 5. And that's why we don't see a bunch of that stuff in there, and I don't think we ever will.
Agreed. Well said.
Yep. Joe says, I'm a huge Nexus fan, but I'm on Verizon. I picked up the LG G2, and I love it. I'm surprised that the Moto X is getting so much more attention than the G2. What is it about the G2 that Android fans don't like?
Nothing. I mean, I think it's just the fact that people kind of get in the mindset of it's not what, you know, it's not what I'm used to, or it's, you know, I'm trained to just dislike what LG software looks like.
That's what it is.
And then when it just comes out, it just happens, even though the G2 is the fantastic phone.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't help that time and time again we have to say it's a great phone, but the software. And the software is not great. I mean, the software is okay. The UI is not great. No, the G2 is a really good phone, and it absolutely has not gotten the respect it deserves. Just hasn't.
Well, you know, neither did their G or the G Pro or...
The flip side of that is, what is there to talk about with the G2? The people that have it, there's no huge bugs that we need to report. LG isn't doing anything really good, like pushing KitKat out to it. Just because it hasn't hit the front page of all the blogs out there, that doesn't mean anything. You know, there's a reason that the Moto X was on it, the blogs, for 3 days. And that's because they pushed KitKat out, not because everybody thinks the Moto X is the best phone. There's nothing wrong with the G2. I couldn't use a Nexus or the Moto X, the G2 is the phone I'd be using, even with those weird buttons and it's a little bit too big. But, you know, it's not like people are dissing it or anything. It's just there's nothing to say. It's doing what it's supposed to do.
It came out at a time, and we've got an email question about it. In fact, I'll go ahead and read it. Where did it go? I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce your name. Rade, something like that. As expectations of the Nexus 4 stole thunder from the Optimus G, so the Nexus 5 was tempered by the reception of, or yeah, the Nexus 5 tempered the reception of the G2. Absolutely, timing was bad. It was just a tough time for the G2 because everybody was waiting, you know, what was the G2? Early September? Was it September or October?
I think it hit the States in the middle of September, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to remember when I was in Berlin because I used it in Berlin. Guys, I don't take an untested phone overseas and use it like that. I've never done that before, and I was perfectly happy with it.
We put up our reviews the third week of September.
Okay, so early September, I used it as my phone and thought it was great. Really, really good phone. I told somebody else over email today. They said, you know, I love the Nexus 5, but obviously Verizon, you know, not big on the Moto X. What else do you recommend? Absolutely check out the G2.
Yep.
By all means.
I borrowed one for this past week. I just had to give it back yesterday. I love that phone. It's not my favorite. That's why I don't have one that I paid money for. But I could use it and be very, very happy, even with the software that I'll complain about as much as the next guy. Mm-hmm. It's overcome that.
And, I mean, I think if you go back, you know, we did a, Jerry and I did a special podcast about the G2. We both, you know, used them for a couple of weeks and did reviews of the AT&T and Verizon versions. This is some of the more positive reviews we've written about phones recently.
Hey, Jerry, I have a question.
Yes.
Because apparently this is making the rounds. Does Android 4.4 not have a browser? Just the Chromium web view? Yeah, I guess so. Chrome wouldn't be an AOSP.
I'm sure there's a browser still in AOSP. Yeah. I can check.
Well, you have to look. I mean, Chrome has been the default browser since 4.1.
But it's not the Android browser.
It's not the Android browser.
It's the Google browser.
Yep.
But that doesn't... Apparently an Android developer on Twitter has said as such. Interesting. Okay. The emulator has it, but not real devices. Huh. Cool. I mean, not cool, but whatever. I mean, for 99.9% of the people listening to this, that's not going to be an issue. Right?
Yeah, because unless you're building it yourself...
Without Google Apps, then...
Yeah.
Right. Okay, the
Jerry's looking.
The AOSP of 4.4 has a browser built right in.
Huh.
You can compile it, and you can put it in. Matter of fact, somebody on XDA has it right here pre-compiled and ready to install.
Huh.
So it's there. I think what somebody is saying is it doesn't exist in the wild because no phones will ever have it.
And that means shipping with... Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing you were going to say, so go ahead.
Well, I said shipping with two default browsers is kind of redundant.
Ding, 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 ding. That's more confusing than it not being there for the users to see with the word browser under it.
It's almost as confusing as having two gallery apps shipping on a phone.
Hey, hang on. We're complaining that Google's doing something right?
Well, right is by definition, Phil. Chrome.
I get what they're saying. Yeah.
Chrome is closed. The AOSP browser is not. I don't know where to go there. You know, we've talked about this. Is one better than the other? Depends on how you think of it.
Hmm. Okay. Ooh, here's a good one. Trick question from Swami, and I do want to talk about this for a minute. Android 4.4 on BlackBerry. Do you folks care? No, I don't care about 4.4 being on BlackBerry. I do, however, have some strong feelings about what BlackBerry is doing with Android apps.
No doubt.
Not happy about it at all. Uh-oh, my background just froze. You see that?
I think it's been frozen for a while.
Is it on BlackBerry?
I'm going to fix it. Jerry, start on BlackBerry because I'm...
Okay.
Mad. Maybe the little background first.
And this isn't necessarily BlackBerry proper that's doing this. These are some other developers, but BlackBerry's not trying to discourage it, and that's what we've got a problem with. You can download a program to your BlackBerry 10 device that fakes a real Android device ID, uses it through some sort of internet proxy, and downloads apps, free apps only, from Google Play and installs them in the Android player on your BlackBerry device.
Including our app.
Which is good in theory. You know, if you're on BlackBerry, boy, you deserve some apps. I'm sorry, but you deserve anything you can get. But you're essentially pirating those apps. Even though they're free, you're stealing them. You're downloading them via an unauthorized method. You are it's just wrong. I've got a few play apps in the store because I goof around. I'm not a big app developer. But if I were and I could prove that somebody did that, I would haul some people into court. And I hate courts and lawyers because it never works out well for me.
But, it works out well for the lawyers.
Yeah. I just don't think this is right at all. And BlackBerry needs to put a stop to this if they can, or at least discourage it publicly.
I mean, we talked about it last week with blogs mirroring all these APKs from, you know, wherever, whether it's Google's or somebody else. I saw somebody did Facebook's beta app or something. I don't know what's going on with that because I haven't gotten it yet.
Because you're not supposed to.
Because, I mean, well, I mean, for whatever reason. But, yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same thing, though, right? I mean,
but this is a device manufacturer, I mean, like Jerry said, not necessarily encouraging, but very far from discouraging people pulling apps from Google Play and sideloading APKs. And
they put up a blog post today, BlackBerry proper did,
yep,
about how you could use Android's Logcat feature to debug an app that you might not have the source code to anymore. That's only one reason they put that up there. No. If you're stealing apps through one of these programs.
That's not for developers, because right, developers have the source code to their own apps, and they know better than, you know, that's not how you debug.
And there is a proper way to do this. If you write an Android app and you would like people on BlackBerry to use it, you download their little SDK, you make sure it works well in the emulator, and you upload it into BlackBerry World, and then all 9 BlackBerry users can install your app and enjoy it.
And that's been there for a long time, too. Right. And they've courted all kinds of developers, and they try to make it easy for, you know, you just say, they say, hey, we have this Android player. It's up to, you know, at the time it supported Android 4.0 or 4.1. It's, you know, and even then people weren't going to put the time into doing it. So I guess they just keep doing this.
I'm really not comfortable with the way BlackBerry is handling this at all.
No, not at all.
Not happy about it. I mean, there was one app store that said had more than 2,000 downloads of the AC app. And it's like, I didn't put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what right do you have to distribute my app? I didn't give it to you. I gave it to Google to distribute. I gave it to Amazon. I have issues with Amazon, too, but whatever.
Mm. But at least you put it up there on your own.
Yeah, I have different issues with Amazon, I should say. But, yeah, I mean, how is this okay? Should Google do something about this? Should Google break something? I mean, this almost goes back to the old Palm Apple days. Remember when the Trio would connect to iTunes, and they really did it kind of a bad way, you know, sneaky way too. It was fun, it was interesting, but not right.
This is not for Google to fix.
Yeah,
if Google is smart, they'll stay the hell out of this, and let this be between developers and BlackBerry and the people writing these apps. I'm sure there's something Google could do so these other. You know, there's a Chrome extension that you can download any APK from Google Play.
Yeah, I'm sure they could put in extra checks. Yeah, they could surely put extra checks to make sure that their crazy, app player on BlackBerry 10 wouldn't deal with apps that weren't officially signed the right way or something like that.
Do we want them to? Do we want Google's iron, you know, fist to get tighter? I mean, I go both ways there. I think we should be able to have Nazi themes and dogfighting apps and naked boobs and everything else in the Play Store as long as there are proper checks where an adult can mark a phone so children can't view them.
All right, well, let me ask the question another way. Should we do something to the Android Central app so that it doesn't work on BlackBerry?
Yes. Yes, if you can get the developer to put some sort of time bomb in there that just displays a screen says, no, we're sorry, you stole this app. Please download it the proper way. And then upload it into BlackBerry World for the people there that want to use it. That's what should be done, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it has to be done at the developer side, just in the same way that we've seen developers come up with interesting ways to manage, because piracy happens on Android too, yep, where people are getting apps from weird places and paid apps and hacked apps. I think that's the same thing. I mean, The issue of BlackBerry is just the fact that it's kind of supported by BlackBerry. Like, this function to do this, you know, they haven't actively closed.
I'm going to call us up, you know, put us on the table here a little bit. We have probably, you know, a relatively large amount of people that use a BlackBerry that would be interested in our app just because of the Mobile Nations umbrella. We are remiss for not having it in BlackBerry World already. Our app should have been able to been downloaded. And, you know, I understand that's probably not nearly as easy as I say it is. I've never tried it. But that's what it takes to make this kind of stuff go away. Unfortunately, most developers aren't going to give a crap about BlackBerry, period. That makes me really sad, but that's just the way it is.
You know what? I don't think anyone's actually asked us to. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten an email saying, hey, can you put Android Central in there?
Then I'm gladly wrong. That means we didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, cool. Just look at, the dozens of downloads we have in the Amazon App Store or something like that. I mean,
we serve our target market very well, I think.
I think now I kind of have to, though, right?
I wish you would.
After all this complaining, I think I'd better do it.
I wish you would. That way we aren't, hypocritical.
Yeah.
But I think the funny thing is that for most developers, they would rather, it's just more, it may not be a huge headache to get your app certified or whatever and make it run in the app player, but it's just one more amount, however small amount of headache. And you're going to get those couple of emails, support emails about it. And you don't want to have to get the emulator or, go buy a BB10 device just to support 15 people that are going to download it.
Absolutely.
All right. I'm tired of talking about that now.
Well, I'm glad we talked about it because we both have, for the past couple days while it's been going on, we've just been kicking that at each other.
No, absolutely. No, I'm not happy with it. That's my bottom line. Sprint Spark, that's their new LTE thing that's supposed to eventually maybe be really fast. We sent the HTC One Max from Sprint that I had up to Andrew Vaca in New York, so he's been toying with it for a few days now. I mean, he's seeing okay LTE speeds, not great, certainly better than what I've ever experienced in New York City. But
better than I've ever seen in Seattle.
Yeah, but certainly not, to the 50 or 60 megabits per second that and again, that's theoretical. But
remember in February when you and Alex had the Galaxy S4 on Sprint LTE
it was horrible.
In New York City, and then compare it to what Andrew Vaca saw.
Yeah, no, I don't even
huge
know
improvement.
I don't even know if we got an LTE signal.
Not one that would do a speed test. I remember that.
And in Seattle, it's gone from no LTE to some LTE in parts of the city. So, I mean, it's not like things aren't getting better. But like you said, I think Andrew nailed it in his headline.
That was perfect. Now, there's a lot of people that are saying, well, if you'd have turned on the engineering screen and moved to make sure you had LTE on this frequency, you know what?
No.
Sprint's press release just says Spark is great. It's fast. They don't tell you to stand here and hold your phone this way and you'll get a good signal.
I want to know how something works, not how something can work.
It's very similar. It's very similar to the whole 4G versus 4G LTE versus HSPA argument that kind of T-Mobile and AT&T is kind of propagated over the last couple of years. It's just, as long as the speeds are what they are and the performance is, what it is, that's what comes out in the press release. And if your network backs it up where where you are, then who cares what frequency you're on or what technology you're using or if the icon in your status bar spins, furiously when you're connected. It doesn't matter. And, the fact that you could get, quote unquote 4G speeds on AT&T and T-Mobile without LTE, that's all that mattered. And, I just hate the fact that they're just, trying to pull the wool over people's eyes by saying we have a fancy new marketing term, but it doesn't actually mean anything to the end user.
Some Chromecast news this week. Actually, pretty exciting news. HBO Go is now working on Chromecast.
Thank you.
For what that's worth. And I get that it's worth a lot to a lot of people, actually. So, cool.
Comcast Infinity?
Oh, that's right.
Batter's box.
Yeah.
Your turn next.
The app, the Chromecast app itself, which you almost never need to use once you have it installed and working, but it got an update too, slight UI refresh.
I saw it yesterday and installed the app just so I could look.
I know, so did I. Google Wallet got an interesting update this week. A couple things. So one, you can order a physical credit card to use through Google Wallet. We'll see how that works, I guess.
But can you put it in your coin?
That's the thing. You probably could.
Walletception.
Yep. You have to find out, Phil. Hand.
I'll check. And then what else can you do? You can use the camera on your phone to scan your credit card and get the information off that instead of typing it all in, which is kind of nice. You still have to type in a little bit, which is it good, you know, security, yeah. I guess.
I don't want somebody behind me scanning my card.
Oh, you know what we haven't talked about already? Newsstand. Kind of a big deal. So yeah. Google Currents is going away. Not a huge surprise. Google Play Magazines is being folded into all this, and now it's called Google Play Newsstand, which is a horrible, horrible name.
Yeah. And it's actually just the magazines app. Like the name of the app is still, you know, com.google.magazines sure. or whatever.
But Google Currents has been rolled into it. There are parts of this I like a lot.
You know like what they should have? You know what they should have named it? Google Reader.
Oh. No, there are parts of this app I like a lot. If you haven't tried it yet, go do it, and by all means, load up Android Central in there. We'll have a link in the show notes to all this. In fact, we passed 1 million subscribers. This is back from the old Currents days as well. Fairly recently, so that's kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, some of this is beautiful. Like, it's not 100% mm-hmm. perfect. All it's doing is it's pulling off our RSS feeds and repackaging mm-hmm. it. Like any number of other reader type apps, you know, read it later apps do. But there are parts of this that are really, really nice, and I'm curious to see where it goes. But yeah, you can get magazines and all that stuff through it too. So it's.
I think that's the important part, though, is that it supports both right. RSS feeds and then also paywall content from, you know, places like the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and then also yep. magazine subscriptions and newspaper subscriptions. So you can get all three together in one rather than, you know, this is where my paid stuff is, this is where my free stuff is. You know, you can have RSS feeds right next to a paid magazine subscription.
You know what impressed me about it is mm-hmm. I can go on my computer to Google Play and go to the magazines or the newsstand section, I almost said that, and find blogs I want to follow or, mm-hmm. or you know, websites I want to follow and push a button and incorporate that into the reader app on my phone. That's something that Google excels at, and anytime they build that into one of their apps, I like it. Currents was okay. Wasn't for me. My biggest gripe was I had to take that little 4-inch phone and sort through all of those entries and find the ones I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm real anal, aren't I? You can laugh. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the issue of discovery where your only way to put in news items was to hit the little search button mm-hmm. and search for news sources didn't really, you know, that didn't really set it up so that you could follow, you know, just the right sources.
I'm excited about it. I think it's cool. Now, if somebody wants to do something about the old news and weather app,
yeah,
you know, that needs to be in there.
No. I'm fine that it's there. I want somebody to spend 10 minutes and update.
Make it look like Google Now.
Make it look like something. Yeah. No, I like having it there. It's a nice, simple aggregator. I use it. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Don't laugh. That's the one I use.
No, I disable it the second I power on a new phone.
Hater.
I hate freedom.
What else? Google Glass this week. They gave a preview of the GDK.
Of the, exciting.
Glass developer kit. Yeah, actually, there's some really good, and we got some new glassware, some new apps to play with. You know, a cool translation app, so you look at something and it translates it right there on the screen. You know, some cool stuff there. And Andrew, what was your favorite part of it? You were watching it with me.
Yeah, it's a 40-minute sneak peek video or whatever, and it's actually, I expected to, you know, kind of skim through it, but I watched the whole thing and, you know, backed it up and rewatched parts of it. They're giving you just better access to the hardware if you're a developer, so you can they really talked about how it's just like developing Android apps or a phone or tablet, but you just point it at a different target, and you can access the camera, you can access new UI frameworks, and you can access location, things like that, so that, you know, they showed off a biking fitness app, so you can, you know, show your routes and your times, and you can just do a couple taps on your temple to, you know, start and stop different areas or show different points. Although the weather doesn't really support it right now, there's a golf GPS app, SkyDroid, which I've used on my phone before, that, you know, gives you distance to the hole, distance to hazards and things like that, will just get piped right into your Google Glass now, which, you know, there's stuff like that that they just couldn't do before with the Mirror API.
Stavra for running and biking.
There's a game.
Yeah, there's a, was it a word search game or a spelling game?
Yeah, it's like a word spelling game.
So, I mean, stuff's coming. It's still way early. We're going to start talking about this more, actually. We're talking about it today. I think we're going to start writing about Glass more and maybe even doing a podcast every now and then. For those of you who would like to hear more about it, we're still figuring out exactly what we want to do, but I definitely want to do something. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting times. I'm still not wearing it out ever. I am a bad explorer.
I'm trying really hard to wear it.
No, you're a good explorer.
Yeah.
Somebody has to represent the people that may not be into just wearing those things all the time. I always say you are the perfect person to get it because you're not super enthused about it. You will think more critical.
Fine. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I feel better now.
Well, I want you to tell me everything you hate about it. I want you to tell me everything you think that's wrong, everything that you think that Google needs to fix.
Sure.
Because everybody else is telling me everything that's good. And I want to hear that, but I also want to hear the side from a non-believer. You know, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I'll buy that. What else? Verizon is selling the HTC One Max for what that's worth. It's a really big HTC One. Did anyone else officially announce it?
Just other
Sprint, or it was Sprint. Yeah. That's it, though, right?
I don't think there's any word on AT&T or T-Mobile.
Okay. You want to do a couple emails and we'll get out of here? Oh, should we do a couple more Q&A questions? Because I know they're piling up.
Yeah, go through the Q&A.
While I'm not paying attention. Joe wants to know, what is Google waiting for with Chromecast? Why hasn't it been set loose? Actually, it's about to, so they're doing a preview, I think next week for the Chromecast SDK. So,
yeah,
they're inviting people up. I think it's in Seattle, maybe? I forget where. Maybe
it's in Mountain View.
Mountain View, okay.
I was thinking about going. It just clashed.
I was going to say, why aren't I going if it's in Seattle?
Window wants to know, what do you guys think of the FCC speed test app? I don't know. Use it? Don't use it?
I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I think that what they're doing with the data is really cool. They're going to give people an interactive map in the beginning of 2014 showing, you know, what carriers are doing, what speeds, and, you know, how those match up to their claims.
I got to wonder what somebody like Centrally thinks of this.
It's exactly what Centrally is doing.
Right.
Well, all I know is AT&T and Verizon own the senators that decide what the FCC will do. Yep. I'm not going to trust any of the data they publish.
Our network is great, right where Jerry is. And Jerry's going to say, no, it's really not. Ryan wants to know, what is a better example of Google's philosophy, the Nexus 5 or the Moto G? I think Google's philosophy is whatever Google wants it to be, and I think it changes on a fairly regular basis, yes.
I think those two phones are exactly the same, just a different price tier.
Which, yeah, we didn't talk about the Moto G review. I guess Alex isn't here, but
go read the Moto G review. It's up.
Right. If you've got an extra $150, buy the Nexus 5. If you don't, buy the Moto G. And in any case, you're going to get a great experience thanks to Google. And I really think that there is no longer a Nexus line of devices that's on its own.
Yeah, I really, and we've talked about this internally, not enough for me to write anything, but I really have been thinking about how the definition of Nexus has changed and how we never really understood it in the first place. And I don't think Google ever really did a great job of articulating it. But it definitely means something different than it used to. And for as good as the Nexus 5 is, it feels, I mean, compared to something like the Moto X or anything Samsung does, you know, almost kind of beta-ish. And that's not to say that's a bad thing. There's a lot of good in there. And I still think it's a very important device and an important program. But I have even less of an idea of here's what it means. I think it's going to mean something different to everybody. It's going to mean something different to Google. And maybe that's their intention now.
It no longer means what the Nexus One meant, and that's the only time Google ever talked about the Nexus program. So now we're just guessing.
So,
I'm glad they're doing it. Mm-hmm. You've got one hell of a phone here for $350.
Robert says, the FedEx guy just dropped off my new Moto X. Congrats, Robert.
Oh, dude. Whee! Awesome.
Is there going to be a way to buy the Moto G direct and unlocked for Motorola like Google does with the Nexus?
There better be.
I mean, considering that they sell the Moto X directly.
I bet they do at some point.
All I know is the ones in Canada aren't Pentaband, and my quick little investigation, they're not selling them without a new contract.
Well, it actually, it's going to get messy. Because Moto G is already, you know, $200 outright. Done. Period.
Yep.
That's going to screw with the U.S. carriers if they were to sell it. No, right. That's not a bad thing.
Well, I mean, considering that it doesn't have LTE unless they come out with the, you know, a new version with LTE in it, it's never going to be on a postpaid carrier anyways. No. So you're never going to see it subsidized unless it's by some weird prepaid carrier that wants to do it. So, but you think about if Motorola did sell it, and they partnered up with their, you know, they're doing this financing deal where at that price you could finance it over 6 months or something. It would be pretty awesome.
Right. Oh, somebody corrected me. It was the Palm Pre and not the Trio that connected to iTunes. You were correct, sir. I was thinking the Trio Pro.
Oh, did we say that? Yep.
I said Trio because I was picturing the Trio Pro. So you were correct, Adam. Sorry about that. I regret the error.
Nothing.
If only we had a Palm WebOS site. Oh, wait. Damn it!
Paging Derek.
Ryan wants to know, how are your Pebbles holding up? Pretty good. Mine's, you know, it's fingerprint prone. I probably got a couple scratches on it, and it's got a yellow streak down the middle, which actually, I complained about it on Twitter, and Pebble saw that somehow and offered to replace it. I just didn't take it up on them because I'm lazy and didn't want to be without it. You know, it doesn't affect the way it works. It just looks kind of funny. But, you know, it's holding up really well. So.
Yep, mine's fine. Maybe has a couple scratches on it. That's about it.
I'm happy with it.
I'm looking at mine. It's kind of scratched up, but then again, I was working on my car.
You're kind of scratched up.
Yeah, I am very scratched up, so it fits me well.
Here's a good question. Why does Google not release an installer like CyanogenMod does to install updates?
They do.
They do. One click.
Yes, but that's not really the question.
I mean, the question is, why isn't it an app in the Play Store?
Or something you can download on your computer.
But Phil,
yes,
you download it on your computer, you any install computer. It, and you either pick the file that ends in .sh or .bat and click it.
We have to write more on this. See?
Yep. It's the driver issues. I don't have a Windows computer handy, so I have not messed with the CM installer. But I imagine it is the same horrible driver issues that the factory image bundle has. There's just no way you can get around that.
Another one from Ryan. Where did it go? I can't find it. Any Mobile Nations events at CES this year? We got some interesting stuff coming up. I can't announce it yet. I want to, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be something very different than what we've ever done at CES, which is really just running around covering stuff.
A drinking contest?
A what?
A drinking contest.
Well, I mean, we do that anyway. It's going to be something more along the lines of what we did for the Samsung Developers Conference, only different and better. I think I can say that without getting in trouble.
That's two words I like when they're together.
Different and trouble?
And better.
And better, well, yeah.
When you throw trouble in there now, ooh.
No, it's going to be exciting. Andrew's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Alex will be there. Richard will be there. Everybody's going to be there. Jerry's going to have to do all the work at home by himself.
Hey, that's a fair trade for not having to go to CES.
He would be the ringer in the drinking contest, though.
I mean, as excited as I am stuck there all week. So, by Thursday, I'm just going to be,
Everybody kind of turns into zombies halfway through the week.
And I've never been there. Maybe my first year I left on Saturday. I was there all week. But not since then.
While you're there, I'll be in the hot tub writing stories on the Chromebook thinking about you.
I am so, Friday, as soon as we're done, I'm at the spa. My wife got me into that. That's good. Anything else? You want to do one more? When do you guys pick one?
Well, we have two emails left over.
Do we? All right, let's finish the emails, then we're done.
Well, we have two Ryans, but the first Ryan says, I know you probably get tons of these types of requests, but I was convinced that I was going to get a Moto X. Then I was in a Verizon store and a rep showed me his Droid Max with the active notifications and always listening. So, I'm just looking for thoughts on pros, cons, or one over the other. I would love to customize, but it's definitely not necessary. I know price storage, and the Moto X now has 4.4, but what am I overlooking? So Droid Max versus Moto X. And I think Jerry said something about this last week.
I mean, if you can deal with the slightly less PPI on the screen and the capacitive buttons, I would be able to get the Max for that battery. It's going to get updated quick, guys. Verizon is not going to hold this one back.
And I used it for a while. I used the Ultra and the Max and don't get the Ultra. But the Max, the only thing I would say, all that other stuff aside, is it is heavy because it has a gigantic battery, and it can be tough to hold on to because it's so heavy. But if you can deal with the weight, it's like Jerry, it's a Moto X with like 3 days of battery life.
Right, and you'll be glad, man. I kind of feel bad that the best Android phone is on the only carrier that doesn't work around my house. And I honestly think that I would have a Droid Max if Verizon worked here, and I hate Verizon.
Yep. Ryan writes, and I'm going to need Jerry's help explaining this.
Oh,
I think.
Dear
goodness.
Well, I think I can get it. I have a question about getting updates on carrier-unlocked phones. I had an AT&T Galaxy S3 that I sold to my big brother, finally bringing him into the world of smartphones. He, however, is on T-Mobile. Rather getting an unlock code from AT&T, I used some other method. He dialed something. I didn't actually know this, whatever, and unlocked the device running Android 4.1.1. He's able to use the device just fine, but still I wonder about updates. Will he get over-the-air updates? And if he does update to Android 4.3, will he lose the carrier unlock?
It sounds like if you didn't unlock through a service menu, they could close that up. But I don't see why you wouldn't get the update anyways. I mean, you don't have to have it activated and running on a carrier to get an update.
I'm not familiar with the S3, but with the S2 and the Skyrocket, you could go through an engineering screen and SIM unlock your phone. And it was just like AT&T or T-Mobile did it for you. It stuck. But you could also root your phone and go in with a hex editor into the boot up partition and SIM unlock your phone. Hmm. And if you got a new bootloader, that could get overwritten in some cases. If he rooted his phone and had to flash all this stuff he found at XDA, he may want to not take any over-the-air updates. If he didn't root his phone and just followed some instructions and typed some numbers in the dialer, he should be fine.
You know what else you could do? And I know it's not cool, but call AT&T. you know, as long as your account's in good standing, you didn't like just buy the phone, they generally will give you, you know, the unlock code. I called them at 2 a.m. one night asking for one before I went somewhere. So, I mean, you don't feel shy about doing that unless you owe them like $2,000, in which case, by all means.
Yeah, and the big thing is he should still just get the update. It's not dependent on you having a SIM in it to pull down the update.
No, your phone
AT&T, actually, I think it is.
On AT&T, it is?
Yeah,
that's
have a SIM card for it to properly check for
the update. What about through keys?
I don't know. I don't use keys.
Well, neither should you. Because you want to stay sane, but...
Feel bad about yourself. I'm pretty sure AT&T phones, you have to have the SIM card in it.
Oh, interesting.
For me. In fact, that means I need to put it back in my Moto X.
I don't have any AT&T carrier branded phones here right now, so.
Yeah, no, I do. And that reminds me, I need to put it back in there right now. It's a pain, but not a huge deal.
So worry about the unlock first, then.
Right. Yeah. The couple times I've had to deal with AT&T, they unlocked a phone with no issues, and I wasn't a customer. I just had the phone. But they punch in the IEMEI number and find that whoever had it before me didn't skip out and not pay their bill, and they unlocked it with no problem.
Oh, Nokia, what is it with your weird SIM tray? Nokia. What the hell is this?
Nokia.
Oh, all right. Hmm. Crisis
it's
averted.
Probably got a weird Finland.
Pops out just fine. No, actually, it's a really nice SIM tray. I like it. It's not it's one. Can you see this? It's just one solid thing, so your SIM card's not constantly falling out the other side. I tell you guys,
innovation.
I like your phones the more I get to play with them.
Is this before or after you turn them on?
There's some, well, I mean, Windows Phone is Windows Phone, but the devices themselves, they're solid.
Yeah, that's, nobody is arguing with that.
The guy who bought my N9 wants to sell it back to me.
Really? You're going to buy it back, aren't you?
I might. If I can talk him to $200, I'll buy it back. Only reason I got rid of it is because of the very sharp corners. I hate the way Nokia makes their phones.
Jason Rabinowitz says AT&T phones need a SIM card to update and will not work over keys. So there you go.
Wow.
I was pretty sure about the SIM card thing.
Haven't heard of that before.
Putting AT&T on the list. Do not.
I think that's going to do it. That was a pretty good podcast for just three of us. Alex who?
Well, no, I'm glad we could give Alex the day off. He's
absolutely
not feeling
well. He is.
But I wish we could have.
Between the Nexus 5 review and now the Moto G review, he's worked his butt off the past couple of weeks.
I wish we could have heard a little bit more about the Moto G, but next week we're going to go back and revisit.
Good review, though. You can read through that.
Yeah, it is. It's turned out to need a big review for a cheap phone, which was interesting.
Because it's an important cheap phone.
And at some point early next year, we're going to have Moto Gs here in the States. So, because I definitely want to take a look at it.
Oh, yeah. So. A G in one hand and an X in the other. I'll be like Clint Eastwood. Wah, wah, wah.
If you would like to email us, do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. If you just want to talk to me and Jerry and Alex and Andrew or anyone, just find us on Google+. We're around. We're friendly, I promise. Most of the time, we're friendly. Every now and then, Phil gets grumpy and talks about himself in the third person. But I like hearing from people. You guys like hearing from people, right?
I am a people.
You are a people. People is people. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. That's also the website, by the way, shopandroid.com. Or you can call them at 888-468-6158.
Tell the people. What's the time frame for a bunch of Nexus 5 cases and stuff? They've been asking me, and I don't know.
That's a really good question. Are there any in there now?
There's a couple. We do have a couple.
But it takes a little while. And
I know.
Let me tell you a secret. When it comes to accessories, now some of the stuff, like, you know, you get car docks that will fit anything. And in fact, I've got one I need to do for the Moto X, I think, because it, you know, they're kind of evergreen, we call them, right? They fit all sorts of stuff. Right. But for things like screen protectors, I know a lot of people had problems with the first batch of those glass screen protectors. I forget who makes them. For stuff like that, they're really custom fits. And this is something I was told a long time ago. You need to be a little careful being like first adopters of those, because sometimes it takes a little while to get the cutting dies dialed right in. And so the first couple batches could be a little off. So I get that you want to protect your phones and stuff, but, you know, headaches happen with early things. I don't know. Let's see.
I won't show the vendor, but I have proof of that right here.
Is it the same one that everybody... I know who the vendor is. But
okay. Yeah.
Is it the same one that everybody else is struggling with?
Yes. It just doesn't fit.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. It looks like they've got... Ooh, they got Cruiser Light cases in already. A whole bunch of those, actually.
Oh, maybe they have more than the last time I looked then, because... Cruiser light was what people were asking me about.
They've got some screen protectors in, so completely ignore the last 2 minutes of everything I said.
We'll cut it out.
Great, go buy them.
Edit it out, yes. Go buy everything for your Nexus 5.
So, cool. Shopandroid.com.
Probably cheaper than Google's $50 cases.
Oh, my God. Yeah. If you haven't read our reviews of those, I mean, they're fine cases. There's nothing wrong with them. And, in fact, I like it. Here's the black one that I've been keeping on my white Nexus 5 because it gives it that nice soft touch feel.
Man, I'm going to have to buy one of them. Damn you, Phil.
But they're $50. They're so expensive.
Damn you, Phil.
Sorry. They're not.
That's just ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous how expensive those are.
All right, I think we're done. We'll be back next week. Oh, maybe. I don't know. Should we take... It's Thanksgiving. We'll probably take next week.
Yeah, either that or I'll be podcasting mobile.
Yeah, we'll see what's going on. So chances are no podcast next week unless something cool happens. So stick around. We'll let you know. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for watching. All that good stuff. Thank you. Just thank you. You make this job fun. Jerry, thank you. Andrew, thank you.
Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And thank you, Jerry.
And damn you for showing me that expensive-ass case.
Sorry. All right, see y'all next week or whenever.
Later, guys.
Toodles.